We're going to be in James 1. We will open up in prayer. Lord, just thank you for the opportunities that we have here, Father, the freedoms that we still have in order to just share and come together and share in your word together, Lord. And just thank you for who you are to us, Father. Pray that you just speak to us now, Lord, and just be here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, James 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. So the first part of this, James, a bondservant of God. James very easily could have announced himself as Jesus' half-brother, right? But what does he announce himself as? A bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also something to point out here, too. God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He points to them both. Both the same, but separate as well. But he addresses them in the same status. But James, a bondservant. You know, every time something like this is when they greet themselves, a bondservant. You know, it's we should take note of what a bondservant is, you know. It's a choice, a servant, a slave by choice, right? And when we really look at it, from the day that we're born, we are created to serve something. We're born seeking, aren't we? I know I was. I mean, I see my little kids, and then I look back at when I was a kid, never satisfied. Doesn't change when we grow up, right? It doesn't change, right? We just get better at hiding it. You know, we get something new. I can get my kid a toy, you know, and they're cool with it for like a day or so, and then they want another one, right? We get a new vehicle, give it a couple months, and we want another one, right? Nothing here ever satisfies. We are always searching for that satisfaction, and that satisfaction can only be found in Jesus Christ. And being a slave, a servant to him by choice, we decide to serve him. Why? Because it's reasonable for us to do so. None of these created things can ever help us, can ever get us through. And ultimately, none of these created things can ever offer salvation. None of these things can ever offer victory. Only Jesus Christ can offer that victory. What we've been searching for, what we were created to search for, was him all along. But then, even more so, a bondservant also had ownership of nothing. Had no possession. Anything that was their master's. But look at us, being slaves, being servants to Jesus Christ, in service to him, being living sacrifices to him. None of our possessions are ours, right? A lot of you guys right up here, you know, 15 years ago, I was going through the program. Had nothing once I came out. Nothing. Anything that we have, and it's a good starting point because it shows walking with the Lord and what anything that he gives you, anything good comes from him. Anything that he gives you or grows us and, you know, we receive from him comes from him. My family, my children, you know, that is all the fruit of walking with the Lord. That had nothing to do with me. I was destroying my life in my sin. You know, as I said, we're going to serve something. You know, sin in our life, you know, it ends up owning us. And something that I like to say, you know, I know we all carry things from our past, you know, before we know Christ, before we have come to him. You know, I'm grateful for my addiction in the sense that it led me to a desperate state where I needed to cry out to him. I call them beautiful scars because they are beautiful in a way. The things that I have been brought through that took me to my knees and showed me my desperation and the fact that I needed a Savior and I was unable to achieve it on my own. I'm grateful for it, in a sense. But sin And my sin was owning my life. You know, it was killing me. Not just my physical life, but my salvation, my soul, my spiritual life. It was taking it from me. Something that I've noticed lately as well, you know, with this whole thing, the virus and everything, fear. Fear is something that is taking ownership of people. And we look through history, we can see dictatorships using fear as an instrument to control people. But ultimately, who's behind that? The enemy's behind it. He wants to use fear. And I'm reminded of the scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." And we walk around, and I see people that don't walk in victory, don't have that power that we walk in knowing the Lord. Very loveless, and definitely, when controlled by fear, don't have a sound mind. I realize, and I know what it's like to be controlled, and I won't go back. But Scripture tells us, you know, we don't need to fear. Scripture tells us that we are more than conquerors. It is finished. It's over. Done with. Paid for. Our sins are paid. Anything else that falls under that, we have faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we are bondservants to the Lord Jesus. Because he has the power to overcome anything just by believing on him. Let's move on off of verse 1. Well, let's go to the second part of verse 1. "To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings." So, Greek translation, this can be translated into grace. And this is something I always like to pause at too in the beginning. It's grace and peace. You know, grace first, peace comes after. Why is that? Because we can't understand. We cannot have full peace until we understand the grace that we have been given. Understand the Lord's grace, what he has done for us. You know, I like to reflect on what the Lord has done, because, I mean, the pull of the world can pull us away from remembering, right? Ultimately, what he did for us on the cross, paid for our sins so that way we could be saved. But what about all the miracles that he's done in our lives? The pull of the world has a tendency to try to pull us away and forget. You know, it's important that we think back and remember what he has done. It's crazy, too, because it could be the most craziest miracle that ever happened in our entire life, but that pull of that world and our sinful nature can take that from us just like that if we're not constantly pursuing spiritual things. You know, one of the earliest examples of grace that I was shown was by Ken when, I think it was, 15 years ago when I was in the program. I almost got kicked out for something that I did. And don't ask me what it was. You'll never get it out of me. I'll never tell you. But I almost got kicked out. And back then, the old director, the guy that was under the director out there, they were all set, ready to, you know, I was down in the hole digging. And Ken showed up that day. And he was like, "Nope, even though he deserves to get kicked out, we're not doing it." And I remember he came down and he talked to me down at the hole. And that's what we used to call it when we were down there digging for a week. But, you know, I didn't really realize it at the time until later on as I've been walking with the Lord. But if it wasn't for that small act of grace, because what I deserved was to get kicked out. But if it wasn't for that small act of grace, you know, I think about my kids. I think about my wife. I think about my life and where it is now, walking with the Lord. Odds are, if I would have gotten kicked out, I would have gone back to my old lifestyle. How much power, representing the Lord's grace and someone rightly representing Jesus Christ for who he is, one small act of grace altered my entire life. Now, if one man can do that, how much more Jesus Christ can do in our lives? What miracles he can work in us? You know, once we accept his grace, we receive power from him. Why? Because we've offered our lives to him now. We know what he has done to us. We have accepted him saving us. We have come to the realization that we can't do it on our own. We have experienced his power. Myself, in and out of rehabs for years, could never do it. I could never do it in my own strength. All their meds they had me hopped on, up on, you know, coming out of those places after a week, you know, all on tons of meds, walking around like a zombie. All I needed to do was have a right introduction to who Jesus Christ was and a right saving relationship with him and be shown what it was to have a relationship with him. I received the power, you know, and then I learned of his love. Love is that's uncomparable. You know, we cannot compare it to anything here. Why? Because he is the source of love. He is the definition of it in itself. You can't fully know love unless you know Jesus. And then at that point, we're given a sound mind. You know, we're thinking rightly. We are now sober-minded, right? We have our mind, and we know we have our mind right. You know, I just think back to the chaos. When I overdosed, I remember this vividly. It's really weird. And the Lord obviously has it there for reasons, but I remember them trying to bring me back and snapping in and out of consciousness a few times. And it was really weird because when I would pass out, it was like chaotic in my brain. And then I'd wake up again and I'd see a couple doctors sitting there, or what I thought was doctors, it was some medical professional. But pass back out again. And I just remember that chaos. Not only was my life chaotic and I didn't have my mind right, but going through that, just it reminds me, you know, how chaotic my life was and how much peace that I have now. As I said, we're going to serve something. All along, I was created to look for him, as we all are. And then once we find what him who fulfills, we find that peace that we've been looking for, that satisfaction. Because what the enemy, what does the enemy offer? He offers instant satisfaction, but it's never lasting, right? Always leaves us wanting more. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, what we're going to get into here is two sides of the same coin. You know, it's going to be trials and temptations. You know, we get these in our paths. And it's what we decide to do with them. You know, a trial is from the Lord. It's used to edify. It's used to grow us. Show us where we are. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You know, problems and getting through those problems, things that arise in our life, and they will, produces endurance. This word here, testing of your faith, the testing means proving. And who are we proving it to? You know, are we proving it to God? No, we're not proving it to him. He already knows. He wants us to know it. He wants us to know where we are at. You know, the growth going through trials and holding on to him, allowing him to walk through those trials, for him to empower us. You know, we grow closer in his likeness. We grow closer to him as we go through these things. And as I said, you know, going through trials and things that come at us, how do we fare usually when we try to do it on our own? Try to do it in our own strength. Again, grateful for that addiction that I had that showed me that I'm incapable of doing it in my own strength. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, as I said, the enemy, he offers instant gratification, right? You know, allow that perfect work. Usually when we hit trials, we want it to end quick, right? We should be patient. Allow the Lord to do his work, because it's a work for good. He wants to work something in us. Whether that he wants to show us something that we can draw closer to him, as scripture says, you know, draw close to him and he will draw close to us, right? Right? The closer that we can get to him here, the better. What sin could take us? What sin could get us? What temptation could get us? If we're drawn so close to him here that he's right next to us. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now again, allow us, we need to allow to be grown up. We need to allow for the Lord to grow us up. You know, learning to not get angry anymore when we don't get our way. You know, we can't control our own lives. Being content, you know, with whatever the Lord has given us. You know, whatever our circumstances may be, being content in those circumstances. You know, allowing him to lead our lives. You know, I think of Paul and a few scenarios. You know, Paul off the coast of Malta, right? The Lord gave him a promise, told him that he was going to go to Rome. He knew that promise. He had faith in that promise that was made to him. He knew he was going. He was about to be shipwrecked. Well, there was a shipwreck, I should say. But Paul, in that, wasn't controlled by the fear that everybody else was showing. What ended up happening? Paul wasn't a ship captain, but he ended up taking over control of that ship. Why? Because he was the only one on that ship of a sound mind. He knew. He knew where he was going. He knew the Lord's promises. He was content in whatever scenario. He was locked up in jail. He was singing praises to the Lord. My personal favorite, he was stoned to death and went back into the town. And he was dragged out of the town, stoned to death, and then went back in preaching Jesus again. Kind of a funny scene to me. You know, he gets dragged out, dusts himself off, get back up, okay, and then goes back in. But Paul was the one who said that the Lord had told him his grace is sufficient. Paul had knew this. He was told it. The Lord's grace is sufficient for us. The very fact that we get to go to heaven and be with him. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no longer burdened by the things of temptation here. Perfect peace and rest with our Father in heaven. I just love even just thinking about it. You know, we should yearn for it. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know, we're all here on a Wednesday night. I think we probably all have a pretty good understanding that we don't have any wisdom of our own. We need it. We need the Lord's wisdom and guidance, you know, with what we're given. I mean, Lord knows. I mean, I don't have the first clue. I do not want Adam raising my family, because I know where Adam goes. I want the Lord. That's a responsibility, you know. It's a responsibility to be in contact with the Lord. I want the Lord raising that family. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man. You know, it's real easy for us to being living sacrifices. You guys have probably heard it. You know, the problem with the living sacrifice is it wants to keep getting off the altar. Well, we want to do that. You know, our human nature, our sinful nature wants us to get off that altar. You know, we can ask the Lord, Lord, I want wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom, and then turn right around the corner and make our own choices. Why? I mean, we may be impatient. We may want an answer right now. It may not be His timing. But are we relying on Him to guide us? If He has us going nowhere, then we should stay put. Lord, what do You want me to do? You know, are we seeking Him, and are we actually hearing and doing, which we'll get into? You know, we want to take back control of our own lives. We continually try to. You know I do. And I got to constantly surrender, constantly feed with spiritual things. We want to take our lives back. For not let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. You know, if we doubt His goodness and His power, when we fall into times of trials, we don't have stability. We lack in stability. You know, and why would that be? Because once again, trying to take our own lives back and rely on our own strength. You know, I think about the program, and you know, you guys know the program can't offer salvation. It can't. But what it does is build you up, start you off at the place of, you know, almost we have our liberties taken from us, but built up right, built up on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ within a year time. And that's the thing. We need that firm foundation. When we hit times of trials or temptations, we need that firm. We can't be leaning on no watered-down gospel. What happens if that happens? We sink, right? We need solid Jesus and brought up right, knowing who He is, knowing what it is to have a relationship. Relationship's key. Do you have a one-on-one personal relationship with Jesus Christ? When He tells you things, do you act on them? Do we act on them? Verse 9, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but let the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. You know, what grace does is it exalts the lowly and it humbles the proud. You know, we have different stations in life and different situations. And, you know, my prayer continually for me and my family is for us never to be given or have too much, but not to have too less to be able to provide. Because any of those things, I wouldn't want to have too much to where it would steer me away from Christ. I wouldn't want the temptations of here, you know, the things of this world. Verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. So here, we're going to get into the temptation that the enemy tries to drag us down. Temptation brings out the worst in us. Trials, on the other hand, grows us closer to the Lord. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been
approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You know, where is our focus? When I read this, I'm thinking about, you know, having our eyes set on the Lord. You know, and the promises that he has made us. You know, we have a hope. We have a hope of heaven. You know, I know day in and day out, separate from Christ, doing the monotony of work and looking at this world, you know, and everywhere that it's going, it would cause anybody separate from Christ to be depressed, to want to escape it and find some means to do so. You know, but we, knowing Christ, have a hope, a future hope of something outside of here. We don't have to look at what's right in front of us. We can look to a future of heaven. You know, he's made good on all of his promises. He's never reneged once. He's never gone back once. So he's going to make good on that promise that he's made with us, that we are going to be there one day with him. C.S. Lewis said that those who did the most for the Lord in this world were precisely those who focused more on the next, having a heavenly mindset, thinking of a future outside of here with the Lord, thinking on spiritual things rather than carnal things. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. You know, guys, we need to continually, as I said, we need to be feeding the Spirit. You know, we're going to have a tendency to want to go towards the world, and we need to continually be feeding ourselves of the things of the Lord. You know, when we have temptation, and when that comes our way, how are we going to fend it off? If we're spiritually equipped, we're going to respond in the Spirit and take it for what it is, a trial. Something that the Lord can bring us through. Something that's a hardship or something hard that has happened in our life, rather than a temptation where we can fall into sin. This is too much for me to handle. Yeah, it is. Whatever it may be, yeah, it is too much for us to handle. Having faith in Jesus Christ to walk us through it, he can handle it. His power will do it. You know, Schofield said something like, you know, it's compared us to two trees. Tree of the old man and a tree of the new man. And the challenging part about it is keeping that old tree barren of the old man and putting fruit on the new tree. And how do we do that? Are we able to put fruit on that tree ourselves? No. The only way that we're able to do it is by walking in the Spirit. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. You know, if Ken has said this, that when desire and opportunity meet, that's when we have problems. That's when we fall into sin, right? We know our flesh. Understanding our flesh tells us exactly what the Spirit would want us to do, right? We know our flesh. We know where our temptations lie. We would do the opposite. But once we have given in to those desires, you know, we're no longer of a sound mind. You know, we need to stay in that sound mind, stay spiritually fed by staying in His Word and allowing the Lord to show us, to change us. You know, we are born with a deep desire for fulfillment in life. You know, we're always wanting more, as I said, to be satisfied. Reminded of Psalm 37:4, just delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. There was one point in time when I actually thought that that meant, you know, you pray to the Lord and He's going to give me what I want. You know, want a fancy house and want all these things. No. You know, so in this where it says desire and opportunity, where, you know, we're enticed by our desires, we're feeding ourselves with things of the Spirit, you know, surrounding ourselves with godly things, you know, nurturing that spiritual side, He will change our desires. Our desires will no longer be of the sinful type, but our desires now will be of more of Him. An eagerness to know Him more. An eagerness to want to get into His Word, get into our devotions when sometimes in the mornings it can be difficult. Lord, what do you have for me today? Lord, give me wisdom. What direction do you want me to go on? I always say this, living for the Lord is a bigger trip than I've ever been on using drugs. Because you never know where you're going to end up. You never know who He's going to end up throwing in your path. You know, I can find myself getting discouraged sometimes. You know, I can find myself in, you know, the temptation to just be like, you know what? What am I supposed to do? And just kind of, you know, get discouraged, honestly. But the Lord, you know, when my faith is wavering, He is always faithful. I'm telling you, whenever I'm feeling that way, He'll throw somebody in my path. He'll do something that just reignites. You know, when I am faithless, He is faithful. And as I say that, I think about like not even knowing Him and Him sparing me when I overdosed. He was faithful and I didn't even know Him. He had every right to just let me go. But His grace, His love that I can't understand, to someone that didn't even know Him, turned from Him in my sin, but yet spared me anyway. Do not be deceived, my brethren. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Man, our fleshly desires, our vile, sinful nature, you know, we all know that it's there. Thank God we can't see what's going on in each other's minds. It's a dangerous place. But again, how do we push those things out? You know, feeding ourselves with things of the Spirit. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Not just the physical death, as you guys know, but the spiritual death. You know, and the Lord's more concerned with our soul than He is our physical form. And rightfully so. That's what matters, right? That's what's eternal, not our physical frame, where we're going for eternity. And again, to bring it back to fear, that's why we can walk in victory and not be afraid. We don't need to fear. We can walk in the confidence and the hope that we have in Him. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. You know, I had a physical issue. I had an addiction. That is why I came to this Christian program out in Maine from New Jersey. Well, actually, Florida. That's where I was last in treatment in Florida. I always joke, it's like they try to get me out of the country, but can't quite get me there. Went right from Florida up to Maine. But I came here for a physical issue, a carnal issue. You know, I wanted off drugs. I did want that, and I kind of realized that the world wasn't doing it. So I'm like, all right, I'll give this a shot, you know. And my idea was it's going to be a bunch of white-collar priests sitting around a campfire singing Kumbaya. It was far from that, trust me. But I came up here, and I remember the guy asking me, you know, he's like, how do you feel about Jesus Christ? I'm like, look, I'll keep an open mind to it. But the constant being fed the word of God, you know, truth has a funny way of resonating with us. And why is that? Because we've been created by him. And when we hear our Father's words, it stirs us. It resonates with us. We hear truth. I heard his word, and it took some time, but eventually I had given my life over to the Lord. But the truth changed me. His words are what changed me. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You know, it's a miracle that our eyes were even opened to Jesus Christ. Our sinful nature, you know, what draws us, where we want to see, where not even knowing him, where we look for satisfaction. You know, Scripture talks about our consciences being seared like a hot iron, right? Well, how seared are they when we don't even know him? It's a miracle that he even opened our eyes to knowing him. There we are. Of his own will, he brought us forth by word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, faith comes by hearing the word of God. You know, I've heard this, and some of you guys probably have too. We have two ears and one mouth, right? We should be receiving and hearing the word of God, taking it in. You know, my mouth can get me in trouble a lot. My ears generally don't. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, our tempers, our wrath, our anger, is what it's speaking of, and it does not produce the righteousness of God. And I think back to Moses when he struck that rock. Moses, who led the Israelites out of Egypt, led them out, right? He struck the rock out of anger, and he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. You know, and I think about us, you know, in our anger, you know, in representing Jesus Christ, you know, how displeasing that may be. You know, letting our anger and our frustration get carried away with us. It does not produce the righteousness of the Lord. And Irish and red hair, I don't have a temper at all. Or the temptation. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. You know, I heard it say, you know, the overflow of wickedness very well could be that just our filthiness, our sin overflowing to other people and affecting other people's lives. You know, And I'll think about it, just thinking about my family, you know, where I could get, say something sideways maybe, you know, out of frustration or something. You know, it's convicting. It's convicting when you have a wife and children. I say something a certain way, and how does that affect them? You know, those little eyes, those kids are sponges. They're looking. They're like little parrots sometimes, imitating what we're doing. And that can be convicting too. I said that? What? Oh. But we should be careful. You know, the overflowing of our sinful side, our sinful nature. And receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. You know, our sinful nature separates us from the Lord. There's enmity between us and between sin and Him. It separates us. You know, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. You know, we need to stay in communication with Him. We shouldn't let anything separate us, right? For what He has done for us throughout our lives, and again, ultimately what He did for us on the cross, it's reasonable for us. Not to mention, He wants to do the work. It's His power that we lean on, we rely on. It's Him who overcomes. He's like, let me take that for you. All I want you to do is give me your life. Hand your life over to me. Be a bondservant. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, we need to apply the Lord's word in our lives. Not just hearing it, but applying it, doing it. You know, and I think a thing that we could do as well is not allowing, not hearing the word, even when we're in our own devotional time with the Lord, speaking to the word rather than the word allowing the word to speak to us and change us. Us telling the word what it's going to tell us, in a sense. You know, are we going into it, spending time with Him, allowing Him to tell us what we got going on? Allowing Him to root things out in our lives that can draw us closer to Him, change us. You know, that's a big thing. We always have to remain teachable. We have never attained. There is always something that can be rooted out of our lives that we can draw closer to Him. You know, Aaron Dudley, his pastor out in Machias, and remember, it must have been 8 years ago or so, and he was here, and he said, I want to draw so close to the Lord here that once I get there, I'll be like, I thought that's what you looked like. You know, we need to draw as close to Him as we possibly can, and if we do that, I mean, I want more of that peace. I don't know about you guys, but it gets heavy. You know, this temptation, sin, our carnal nature, our flesh, it gets heavy. I want to be there with Him. I want to experience as much of that peace as I possibly can here before I get there with Him. We should crave it. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You know, basically, it's of no benefit. It's of no benefit. We're not allowing it to change our lives. We're reading words, and that's it. Reading a story, oh, that was a good story, and that's it. This book, the Word of God, is alive. It changes us. You know, I think it's pretty cool when you know, Emily and I will be reading the same scripture in our devotions, and then we'll, if we share, you know, and if it comes up that, you know, we read the same verse, you know, but it meant, it is what it is, but then it spoke to us in both different ways, you know, pertaining to certain situations that we have going on. But then for us to both come together and share in that scripture, you know, not only did it speak to us individually, but then us coming together allowed for it to change and speak to both of us at the same time. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. You know, allow ourselves to be changed. You know, allow our lives to be fully given over to the Lord. Allow him to maintain our lives. You know, and I always say this in the, at the, you know, occasionally at the cure. You know, what the world teaches is you maintain your sobriety. Well, no wonder that I never attained sobriety through that. And it's a stark contrast to what the Lord tells us, right? I mean, I remember actually being in the program and seeing the difference, you know? It's kind of one of those aha moments that the world was like, you need to maintain your meetings, you know? You need to go on maintenance. You need to maintain your sobriety. Well, no wonder I fell flat on my face all the time. No wonder. But then when I started to learn the Lord's word and understand his ways, I saw that he wanted to maintain my life. And eventually came to the point of, here you go, because I'm destroying it. Take it. You want it. Let's see what you do with it. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.